much. And today in this word, I hope that this word inspires you like it has inspired me. I hope that it brings you joy. Like I wanted to get up and run around the house last night. Sometimes my husband hears me back there and I'm yelling and I'm like, woo! Huh? And he comes and sees, but he already knows that the Lord has done something in my spirit through the word of God. And I pray this morning that as it comes through me, that you will be blessed this morning too. And so, Lord, we just thank you right now, God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you that we have a place to worship. We thank you that we can worship. Oh, God, we got so much to be grateful for. And, God, we just thank you that Easter wasn't just last Sunday. Easter was not just an event. It was not just a holiday. But resurrection is in our life that we can daily, moment by moment, we can appreciate. We can just stand in the strength of your resurrection and what it has done for our lives, oh, God. Oh, we thank you, God, that you rose, that you are alive, that you are alive. You are not dead. You are alive, God. And because you are alive, God, your power is alive. Your strength is alive, God, for us, with us, through us, God. Oh, God, and we thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. We can dismiss our children this morning. Thanking God for our teachers and those that are going to be with our children. Oh, you guys, we thank God for a place that we can bring our children and that they can be taught in this time of, you know, where our world is. It's kids that's out there killing. It's kids that's out there shooting. It's kids, you guys. The last one, 12-year-old child. And I'm thinking to myself, thank you, Jesus, that our children are getting the seed of God planted within them. And I believe in the seed. I said, I believe in the seed. I believe in the seed. No matter what's going on, I believe in the seed. The word of God said it does not go out void, but it accomplishes that which it was sent to do. And so everybody that's under the word of God, there's a seed that's being planted, and it is accomplishing. Whether you see it, feel it, or know it, it is accomplishing. God's seed is greater than us. I always say God's seed. Oh, I love that song last Sunday. Who are you, great mountain, that you should not bow down? God has defeated. Jesus has defeated it all. There's no mountain. There's no stubbornness. There is no ugliness. There is no sin that does not bow down in the light of God and who he is. This morning, I have a thought, and it's been working with me ever since the last time I preached. And through this time of when we was doing the Resurrection Sunday, and there was this thought that just kept going through my mind about the victory that's in our lives. And, we walk and we say to each other, and I texted a lot, I have prayed for you. I have prayed. I have prayed for you. And I get it back a lot from those people that love me, and I know that they're praying for me, and I have prayed. And when I read it or I hear it, a strength comes to me, especially when I know that the people that are saying it, that they are really praying. And I know that they're not just saying, I've prayed for you, because haven't we sometimes said, that's why for me it's become more instant that you'll see in texting when someone says pray, I put the prayer down right there. You might say, why is she writing all that? Because I am praying right then. I don't want to get up and get into something and forget to pray after I've told you that I have prayed. And so right then I'll be like, God, I'm praying right now. And so don't you love that when people pray instantly, because you know that they didn't forget, that it was not just sometimes as a rote saying, you know, like we can say, praise the Lord, but we don't praise the Lord. We just praise the Lord, and we keep on going and never stopping and thinking, what did I just say? Praise the Lord. Did I praise the Lord? Am I praising the Lord? What am I doing to praise the Lord? A lot of things we just say because it's Christianese. It's It's something, but we never stop and see the power of doing exactly what we're saying. Do it now. And so when I hear that word, that sentence, I have prayed, I am hoping that you are praying, because I need prayer. When I say pray, I need prayer. And so there was a special time in the Word of God, and I think Reverend Paul had me thinking about it even more so when we were talking about the Lord's Prayer, and how a lot of times we pray the Lord's Prayer as if that was a prayer when it was really instruction of how to pray. And so sometimes but there is a prayer of our Lord and Savior that sometimes we hardly even talk about it, but it's an important prayer in the Bible. And I pray today that it makes you just as happy as it made me, and that it lifts you like it lifts me. And so the theme is, I have prayed, and when. I have prayed, and when. Oh, my God. I want you to just get this today. In Luke 22, 31 and 33, Jesus prays. And he says, this is at the Lord's Supper, and Jesus is telling the disciples, we're going back a little bit and then we're going to come forward. And Jesus is telling the disciples that what's, you know, getting ready to happen to him. Someone's going to betray him. And the one thing I love about our Simon is Simon was always the one to step up and say something from what he really felt was his heart. And everyone was like, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Who's going to betray you? And the disciples was like, surely not I, surely not I. And Peter was, you know, he was adamant that he was not going to be the one that was going to betray God. And so in this verse, Jesus talks to Peter and he goes, Simon, Simon Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he may sift all of you like grain. And you're going to wonder, because you've heard this chapter before in another version where it says it focuses on Peter, but there's a definition of why he's saying all of you, which it'll come out. But he says, you know, that he wants to sift you, all of you, like grain, all of you. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And when. And I want everybody to say, and when. And when. I want this to get in your spirit. And when. He says, I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail. And when. And I want you to get, and when. And when. And I've already prayed for you, Peter. I'm not going to pray for you, but I've already prayed for you. I've already done this before anything else can happen, Peter. I've already prayed for you. And when? And when? I want you to hear this. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. Yeah, yeah. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you. Peter, sometimes we can be so self-confident in our own strength that we don't even hear what God is trying to say to us. God was trying to tell Peter something right then. He said, Peter, and I just could imagine him looking at Peter, because he's looked at me that way in the spirit. He's looked at me when I felt so strong. I'm never going to get divorced. I'm never going to say divorce. I'm never going to do that. And he's looked at me and I wonder what that look was all about. But the look was like, child, you don't even know what's coming. You don't even know what's around the corner. You don't even know what's going to come against your strength. You don't even know how much you need me. You think that in and of yourself and what you've seen and what you know is going to hold you. But child, I prayed for you. And when you have been strengthened, go strengthen your brethren. Jesus understands our weaknesses. We see in this prayer, this wonderful intercession for Peter, that his faith would not fail. Even after the Lord's warning to Peter, Peter continued full of self-confidence, proclaiming, even if everyone else turns against you, I certainly won't. Yet, in only hours, Simon Peter renounced and swore and was afraid and denied Jesus 3 times in only hours after he said this. And looking at his actions, you know how we are. It would look as if Jesus' prayer had gone unanswered. We would say, well, Jesus, you prayed, but I mean, look at Peter. He's denied you 3 times. It seems as if Peter's faith had failed. Oh, Jesus, I got so excited in this. Okay. Sometimes God has to let us see where we really are to get us to where we really need to be. Sometimes God has to let us see where we really are. In the training, you guys, this is called in the training. Sometimes God has to let us see where we really are to get us to where we really need to be. And we will find out a lot of times we've got a lot of pride on board. We will look at other people and we will say, I will never. How could they do that? I don't understand that. I don't understand them. That's not me. But God said, no, that's not you. But let me show you who you are. Yeah. That's not your downfall, but let me show you what yours is. Sometimes he lets us go through, because to be who we need to be and to really fight the fight, you guys, sometimes we don't understand that we are in boot camp sometimes, and God is still training us in so many areas, because the real fight is coming that will totally destroy us. But God will let us do the scrimmages in the boot camp so we can learn where we really are, where our weaknesses really are, what that thing is that could kill us and destroy us. And he will let us see where we really are to get us to where we really need to be. See, pride and self-confidence, they're enemies to our soul. And we just don't know it. Sometimes we just don't see it. It was faith in Christ and utter dependence on God for which Jesus prayed for Peter, and which indeed would stand the test of time ultimately, as Peter's foolish self-trust in his own human strength would be replaced with an unshakable faith in the Lord and Savior. Somebody said, I'm not done yet. I'm not through yet. I haven't got there yet, but God has prayed for me. But God has prayed for me. I'm not there yet. I'm not through. I don't know everything yet. I don't see it all yet. But look, y'all, the enemy wants to mess you up and make you feel like you're out, you're done, you're through. What's wrong with me? You're not done yet. And God is still putting you through the fire. But when we get through the fire, when we get through the fire, we will come out as pure gold. I said we will come out as pure gold. We're feeling the heat of the fire. It makes us feel restless. It makes us feel like, what's wrong with me? It feels so hot, but let it be hot. Because when God gets through, we will come through as pure gold. It was a hard lesson to learn. Peter, it was a hard lesson to learn, but it was one that was totally necessary for him to grow and mature to do what God had called him to do. Some lessons that we're going through, some battles that we're going through, some tests that we're going through, they're hard, but they're necessary. I said they're hard, but they're necessary for us to come through and be what God has called us to do. Do you guys realize sometimes that I look at how in our lives we have this, I should be there, I should be there, I should already be there. What's wrong with me? God wants to encourage you this morning, so I pray that you allow encouragement to come in your spirit. I should be there, I should be Paul, I should be preaching like Paul, I should be walking Jesus. But do you know what? When you look in the Bible, 33 years before Jesus came out, to do three years of awesome ministry, 33 years of being prepared, 33 years, and then came out to do something awesome. A lot of us, we haven't even, come on, and we want to be awesome, 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 and there's things that God is still training us and teaching us and making us, and we're not done yet. But God has prayed for us. But he has prayed for us. And after we have gone through those tests and those trials that make us, then we will be able to go and strengthen our brethren. I love this part in there that hit me, and I don't know if it hit you. It says, I have prayed. Where Peter that day said, I have prayed. Not I will pray. Not I will pray after you go through the fire, after you done messed up, after you done failed the test, I will pray. He said, before the test even came, he said, I have prayed. Do you know, this taught me something wonderful about the body of Christ, is that before, a lot of us as Christians, we're on the other side of it. After the person has went through the hell or the bad test or the fall, then we say, I will pray for you. But the thing is that Jesus already had discerned by what was going on in Peter's heart that a fall was about to come, that Peter was self-confident. He had already discerned it. But do you know, he didn't walk up to Peter and say, you're just a self-confident fool. And you know what's going to happen? You about to fall. You are so heady and so prideful. You are about to fall. He didn't walk up to them like that. He goes, Peter, I have prayed for you. The enemy wants to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And my prayer over you is such power that after, and I love after, as he said this, that after, he says, when you have turned, confident that you're going to turn, confident that his prayer was so powerful, he didn't say, and if you turn, I've prayed, and if you turn, he said, then you can pray for, you can lift up your brothers and be strengthened. No, he said, and when. I don't even think Peter heard. Can you just imagine if we grasped that in our spirit, that God said, I prayed for you. I prayed for all of you. And when, not if. The enemy wants to sift all of us as wheat. And when you turn, not if you turn, He's going to come after you. There's going to be some things in your way. He's going to trip you up. You're going to fall. You're going to fail. But when? Oh, y'all should get excited about that. When you turn, he has so much confidence in the power of his prayer over us that he can say, and when you turn. See, I don't know where you are today. I don't know where you have fallen. I don't know where you've fallen in your walk. I don't know where you have fallen in your, you know, just your hope. But God says, I've prayed for you. I've already prayed for you. And when you turn, go strengthen your brother. In the 21st chapter of John, after the resurrection, when Jesus gathers with his disciples on the shore of Galilee after they finish eating, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Again, he said, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Can you just imagine that? And once again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, I want y'all to hear. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. What was the difference? Where was Jesus trying to get Peter to? It was then when Jesus, it was after the third time Jesus said, feed my sheep. Why? Because Peter had come to the understanding that the declaration he made with his heart needed to be surrendered to the help of the Lord to walk it out against fear, opposition, trials, and his way of doing things. To give up in order to gain. To lose in order to win, and to go down in defeat in order to rise in victory. Peter finally said, Lord, you know everything. What Peter was remembering was, Lord, I made a declaration. I made a declaration that I would die. I would die for you. And in that declaration, I didn't really take into account that a few minutes later, you know how we can be bold? I will die for you. Peter didn't take into account that a few minutes later, soldiers was coming into that garden. Peter didn't take into account that a few minutes later that his Savior would be hung on a cross. Peter didn't take into account what that I will die for you meant. At that moment, fear came over Peter when he saw there was fear. He didn't take into account. He wasn't prepared. But God knew exactly what Peter was going to do. And all of a sudden it hit Peter when he kept saying, Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know I love you. Then all of a sudden he goes, Lord, you know everything. You even know when I say that I love you, I got it now. You even know that it's going to cost me to say that I love you. But you know everything. I don't know the cost. I don't know what's going to come against me. I don't know, but you know everything. And God wanted him to get to that point that he wasn't so self-confident. Lord, you know I love you. And the next thing coming around the corner would come against his love. He wanted to remind him, you're going to have to depend on me even when you say that you love me. You're going to have to depend on me even when you say with all my heart, I love you, God. I got to depend on you, God, for that declaration to be able to walk it out, not just talk it out, live it out. No matter what happens in my life, I'm gonna have to depend on you. And Lord, you know everything. You know what's coming. Even when I'm declaring, you know what's around the corner. You know what's coming down the bend. You know everything, God. So even as I declare, I have to depend on God. I can't depend upon myself. I love the fact that Christ is no respect of persons. And I want y'all to hear this. What a wonderful thing to know that he prayed for Peter. What a wonderful thing to know that he prayed for Peter and he prayed in advance. And even though Peter denied him, it was a test for his faith to grow, a test for him to see himself and those places that needed to grow in God. That's a wonderful thing. That's, to me, an awesome thing. That's like, I wish I was Peter. Well, I don't have to wish I was Peter. Because God is no respecter of persons. In John 17 and 20, it says this. Neither, in this chapter, y'all need to read this whole chapter for the benefit of time today. Can't go through the whole chapter, but I tell you to read this whole chapter, the prayer of Christ. In John 17 and 20, it says this. Jesus is praying for the disciples, and he's telling them, you know, what he wants them to be one in God. He wants God to bless them to be holy and to be in unity like him and Christ. But then he says, neither for these alone do I pray. I love that. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe and trust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching. God said, I didn't just pray for Peter, and I just didn't pray for the disciples. I have prayed for all who would come to believe. I have prayed for you and you and you, and I'm not going to pray. I have already prayed. I've already prayed for you. I've already lifted you before the throne of grace. I've already prayed, knowing everything that you're going to go through, knowing the attacks of the enemy, knowing when you stand, knowing when you fall. I have prayed for you. Oh, my God, you guys, that should be a hallelujah in our spirit this morning. God says, I've already prayed for you. The trial of Peter's faith is no different from the trials that we have. We, too, have self-confidence in our own wisdom and in our own strength. But we, too, must acknowledge and repent of that. Through trials, God refines us, and he teaches us that our dependence must be on him. He's teaching us every day that our dependence must be on him. You know how I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But Lord, by your strength, by your might, it says not by might, not by Linda's might, nor by Linda's power, but by your spirit, says the Lord, God, that we need to recognize when we're walking in our own flesh or that we're leaning on the spirit of God. In Matthew 26, 41, he tells them, the disciples, so we a lot of times Peter gets the picture of the disciple that denied him, but if you really read carefully, all the disciples denied him. All the disciples fled that night. All the disciples fell short of standing with the Lord and standing beside all of them. And in Matthew 26, 41, it says this. Jesus, before he goes to the cross and he goes to the garden to pray, he tells them something. Again, he's telling them something. God is always telling us something, but we got to be alert to hear what he's telling us. And so in Matthew 26 and 41, he tells them as he goes in the garden, he tells them not to sleep. He says, all of you must keep awake. Give strict attention, be cautious and active, and watch and pray that you may not come into temptation. He says an important thing right here. He says the spirit is willing. I want to do it. I want to do it. But this stupid, stinking flesh, it says, is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He was telling them right then, right there, as they go into the garden, and he's telling them to stay awake, and he's got to go pray, and he says, but you must be alert. He's telling them something. Be alert, disciples. You got to be alert so you won't fall into temptation. But if sometimes God is telling us something that we just, it's just like sometimes in church, the words just, it's just going over our heads. And we don't realize that we can walk right out the door, and the very thing that the word just talked about is the very thing that comes against us. But because we was, then it comes and knocks us down, and we wonder, but God just gave us a word so that we could have victory. And he was telling them a word so they could have victory, because right after he tells them, don't be asleep, stay awake, so you won't fall into temptation, right after he says that, then the soldiers come into the garden, and there, here comes the temptation. But they were so busy not taking on that God was warning them what was coming. Stay awake, be alert. They just went to sleep. And when they went to sleep, when they woke up, there was nothing on their mind, nothing that temptation was coming, nothing that danger was coming. They didn't really hear God. They heard the word, but not really heard the word. And God is saying that we got to go past the ears to the heart and hear the word, because God is trying to tell us something. God is trying to save us. God is trying to help us to grow. And all of a sudden the temptation came in, and all of them wanted to flee and run. But God had already told them, stay awake. Pay attention. Be on alert. When we're on alert, we're doing what? We're watching. He told them, watch and pray. Watch and pray. He didn't, you know how we just pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. This time God said, watch. Watch. Open your eyes. Watch. Open your spiritual eyes. Watch and pray. Something's on the way. But they slept. But then he tells them something very important. He gives them something, you guys, that seems, but it to me, it's the sweetest love of Jesus. He tells them, because he knows that later they're going to think back and think, oh, he told us to watch. He told us something. He told us to be on alert. And here they, and God said, and the enemy was going to like, yeah, what good disciples y'all are. You know how the enemy is going to be. He told you to watch and pray. Y'all don't have nothing. The enemy is going to be the accuser, always the accuser of the brethren. And he comes to accuse them. But in that accusation, there is some love from Jesus. And he reminds him, he said, you know what? I already know you're going to go to sleep. I already know you're tired. I already know you're weary. I already know the enemy's coming. I already know he's going to make you feel bad. But I want to tell you something so you'll be able to rectify that, so you'll be able to see where you fell, and you will help. Right. Spirit, I know your spirit is willing. He said, son, daughter, the spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. This is what the problem is. Daughter, this is the son. This is what the problem is. The spirit is willing. I know you wanna. I know you wanna stand with me. I know you wanna stay awake. I know you wanna do what I've asked. But the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And daughter and son, you're going to have to get that flesh under control. That flesh is going to have to die. And I'm not trying to tell you something that you got to do on your own. Because this very night I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to conquer sin, and I'm going to conquer the grave, and I'm going to conquer it all. Be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And if I've overcome the world, you are an overcomer. That's what he was trying to tell us. So that when the enemy comes against us, wait a minute. God is overcome. And I can overcome too. In John 16 and 33, he says this. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. God, I've told you these things because the enemy comes to wreck your spirit. He comes to bring you with all kind of, you're not of God. You're not strong. I've told you these things. God says so that you can have peace. That's what God's all about. Not to condemn you, not to put you down, but to make you aware, to help you to understand what it is that you need in your life. I've told you these things so that in me, you may have perfect peace and confidence. I need you to know this. Here's another. Are you opening up your ears? In this world, in this world, in this world, you guys, no matter how good it looks, no matter how many times you go out to dinner, no matter how many trips to Hawaii, no matter how many good things that happen in this life, don't get stuck on all that, because God said, in this world, you have, not maybe, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. He was telling them something. He listen with your ears. Listen, so that when it comes, it doesn't smack you in the face. It says, but be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. And I love this sentence. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Listen. You know how that little girl goes, listen, Linda, listen. Listen, church, listen. God is trying to tell you something. Listen. In John 17 and 1, it says, and when Jesus had spoken these things, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify and exalt and honor and magnify your son, so that your son, he didn't just ask it. You guys, this is his prayer for us. He said, glorify, magnify, and exalt your son, so that your son may glorify and exalt and honor and magnify you. In 17 and 9, he says this, I am praying for them. Listen, I'm not praying and requesting for the world, but for those you have given me, for those they belong to you. I'm praying for, who is he praying for? He's praying for us. He's praying for the believers. He's praying for those that have received him. In this beautiful prayer, listen to this. While I was with them, I kept and preserved them in your name, in the knowledge and worship of you. Those you have given me, I guarded and protected, and not one of them has perished or is lost except the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, the one who is now doomed to destruction, destined to be lost, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Somebody might say, what was the difference between Judas and Peter? I can't go into it because it's a whole other sermon, but I need you to look up what's the difference between betrayal and denial. I just need you to look that up for study, okay? Look it up. You're going to be like, whoa! Look it up, okay? And now I am coming to you. I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that my joy may be made full and complete and perfect in them, that they may experience my delight fulfilled in them, in us. He was talking to the disciples with the same prayers for us, okay? That my enjoyment may be perfected in their own souls, that they may have my gladness with them filling their hearts. I've given and delivered to them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. We are not of the world. We are not of the world. Do not belong to the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not, and I want y'all to hear this. I do not ask that you will take them out of the world, but that you will keep and protect them from harm, right? From the evil one, I'm sorry. They are not of the world, worldly belonging to the world, just as I am not of the world. And here's his prayer for us, you guys. Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them. Now, you guys, that takes work. It's not done in a day. God says, he said, Lord, sanctify them, purify them, consecrate them, separate them. He's asking God for yourself. Make them holy. Doesn't happen in a day, you guys. It takes work. It takes work in our lives, okay? And how's he going to do it? By the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. And so for their sake and on their behalf, I sanctify, I dedicate, I consecrate myself. Jesus said, I'm not asking for them to do anything that I haven't already done. I do these things that they may also be sanctified, dedicated, consecrated, made holy in the truth. Neither for these alone do I pray here again. It just reminds us this prayer with the disciples was standing there. We weren't standing there, but God was looking way down the road to this day to let us know that I wasn't just praying for the disciples. Neither do I pray for them alone. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but for also all those who will ever come to believe. Entrust in, cling to, rely on me through their word and teaching. That prayer is over our life. And that and don't you know when God prays, when we pray, we say something happens, right? The prayers of the righteous. There can be no more righteous than Jesus. So when the prayers of the righteous avail as much. So if our prayers avail much, what you think about Jesus? And Jesus said to sanctify us, purify us, consecrate us, set us apart. Don't y'all think, I don't care how it looks, I don't care what the devil's telling us, it's happening because Jesus has prayed over us. And his prayer is yes and amen, even more than our prayer. So we can count on no matter what we feel, no matter how I look in my mirror and say, oh, you're not there yet. God has prayed for me. And everything's going to come out just like God's prayer as long as I continue to believe, you guys. We too have been prayed for. We too was included. In the prayer, we was included. He could have left us out. He could have just prayed for the disciples. He could have just prayed for the Jews. But he prayed for everybody that would come to believe. His strength would be our strength. In the Greek, when he says, I have prayed for you, in the Greek, you is plural, meaning all of you, not just one person. But all of you. Jesus was not only speaking to Peter, but he was speaking to everyone there and all that was afar off. Through Jesus' prayer, our faith does not have to be shaken, you guys. And listen to this. We may be shaken. And we may, like Peter, fail. But the difference is we will not be utterly destroyed. It says, thank you, Jesus, that he put that in there. It says the righteous man falleth seven times. It cracks me up sometimes. I said, Lord, I think I'm way past seven. But he does it over and over and over again. Get back up again. He gets us back up again. He gets us back up. And we're not utterly destroyed. You know, I look back and God has prayed for me. I look at me and me apostles of marriage. And some of y'all know, and y'all probably thought, man, they're counted out. They're done. They're done for. Where they're at right now, there's no coming back from there. But understand that God said, I already know. I have prayed. And even though it looked like done through, kaput, over, God had prayed for us. And God said, yes, they have fallen. Yes, they look out. But I will not let them be utterly destroyed. Oh, the enemy's attacking them. Oh, he's coming against them. Oh, he's knocked them out. But God said, uh-uh, they're not. We're just like in that boxing ring. And everybody think we're down for the last count. And they're not. They're on 8, 9. And the next thing you know, we up again. We're up again. Because God has prayed for us. Oh, my God. God has prayed for us. And because he has prayed for us, that's why sometimes we say these scriptures, but we don't understand the why of it. That's why we can say in Isaiah 54:7, but no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Because not because I'm so smart, not because I'm so strong, not because I got it all together, but no weapon shall form for me because God has prayed for me. It says, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. Say, do it again, Diane. Every tongue that is rolled up against, every tongue that says, I don't know what's going, they're not going to make it. They're, look at them. They're not of God. God said, every tongue. He will shut the tongue down. Because he has prayed for us. He says, this peace, this righteousness, this security, this triumph over opposition is the heritage. It's our right. It's our right, you guys, of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. He gives us, the enemy has come against us, try to destroy us, but our Lord, he has come to vindicate us. For every person that loves Jesus Christ, no matter what you've been through, no matter how ugly, nasty, crazy it looks, God is a vindicator. And it comes, we get it, because he has prayed for us. No weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. No weapon that can hurt us has ever been forged. Any accuser who takes you to court, this is in the message, will be dismissed as a liar. Hey. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. Because he's prayed for us, you guys. He's prayed for us. In 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, it says, we are hard pressed on every side. Oh, there's those days, there's those seasons on every side. It seems like everything is going against you. It says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Because my Jesus, your Jesus, has prayed for us. I love it how it says in the Amplified, we are hedged in. Well, who likes being hedged in? Troubles all around, just hedged in. We are hedged in. We are pressed on every side. We are troubled and oppressed in every way. There's just those seasons where our mind is going. But we're not cramped or crushed. We suffer, baby. We suffer embarrassment. Some of y'all don't know, but we know, okay? We suffer embarrassment and are perplexed. And remember, when you're looking at it, it's not because we're so innocent, because y'all be like, oh, Pastor David, because we were doing embarrassing things, okay? We suffered embarrassment and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but not driven to despair. We are pursued, persecuted, and hard-driven. But not deserted. Come on. Isn't it funny in the craziest of seasons when everybody's gone, Jesus is still standing with you? He said, you make your bed in hell and I'll be there. He's still standing with you. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. Then it comes to that, what? Because Jesus has prayed for us. This is what we could say. Because Jesus prayed for us, what or who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? shall suffering, affliction, tribulation, calamity, distress, persecution, our hunger, our destination, our destitution, our pearl, our sword. This scripture lets us know because Jesus prayed for us, nothing. Nothing. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. He's not a lover that walks away because he's disappointed in us or that we've disappointed him. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. I love you with your stanky diaper on. I love you. You know how we want to be repulsed with a little baby? That's, God gathers us in his arms. And he cleans us off. And he says, I love you. And we go back to and win. Everybody say, and win. And win. And when you have been strengthened, when you have turned and you have been strengthened, then go and strengthen your brother. Some of us, isn't God, nothing is in vain. Nothing. Your situation, your mess turns into a message in God's hand. Nothing is in vain. God turns it around and he will use it. And when, that's why he says that when you've been strengthened, when you've come through that trial, when you've come through that falling, when you've come through that testing, when you've come through that place, that dark, 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 dark place, when you've come through, and remember, you're not coming through by yourself. When you've come through with Jesus, now you can go and strengthen your breath. Now, Pastor David and I can. There was a time where you couldn't have told me that me and Pastor David was going to go through what we was going through. You couldn't have told me that I was going to say the divorce word. You could not have told me that I was going to leave my husband for months. You couldn't have told me that. You couldn't have told me that for nothing. But my Father, my Heavenly Father, he's I pray for you. And after you've been strengthened, after you learn something, after you hurt, after you lost some things, after you've been strengthened, go tell some other women who's ready to leave.
Come on now. Come on.
Go be a help. Go strengthen your brother. Because I have prayed for you. And I prayed and I saw. And even though it may seem to others that my prayer didn't work, I was not utterly destroyed. And I could tell you some moments where I know and look back that I could have been utterly destroyed. And I don't know who else was praying for me, but I know Jesus. Because I know only Jesus could have got me or saved me or pulled me or got my mind right at that time. Only Jesus could have done that. Today, the body of Christ wants to be in the image of Christ. That's what we're called to do, is to be in the image of Christ. There's something I want to ask you. When you hear news, when you hear news or when you see things or you see people doing different things, and what do you do? Do you post it on Facebook? Or do you go tell them, I have prayed for you? When you see some of the saints' children and they're into this or they're into that, or Do you call and talk about it? Oh, you guys don't. Hey, I've been there, done that. But Jesus just showed me a better way. He said to pray for them. To pray for them. Pray for the children. Pray for the brother. Pray for them. And let them know, I've prayed for you. I've not condemned you. I've not gossiped about you, but I have prayed for you. And after you have been strengthened, what are we going to do after they've been strengthened? Are we still suspicious of them? Or do we accept the finished work of Jesus Christ? Are we still suspicious of them? Or do we accept the finished, not even the finished work, but the that he's working? Because sometimes they got to be finished before we accept them in our mind, in our mind, in our mind, in our mind. But do we see God working? Do we see God moving in their life to the point that we are celebrating every step? Because our God said, I delight in every small step. Sometimes in my marriage, David would have to leap over a wall for me to think, he really means what he says. I'm going to believe him. Leap over that wall. Let me see you leap over the wall. And then when you leaped over the wall, do it 10 more times at least, because I believe you only leaped over the wall one time and you're going back. Are we like that? Jesus, look at this, you guys. Peter denied Jesus. Now, when I'm saying that, it sounds like what we say, okay? Like, ugh, that's terrible. Oh, my God, he denied. We're not talking, he denied even knowing Jesus. In our mind, oh, Peter should have been set down for a long time. Peter shouldn't have been, preach. He ain't never preaching again. He denied the Lord. And we'll look and say, What, Pastor David, you got him up preaching again? Do you know what? He denied the Lord.
Come on.
But look at Jesus. He goes and just asks Peter a couple questions. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you really love me? Not only does he ask him the question, but he commissions him to go back and work and preach. When Peter says, Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. He goes, okay, Peter, now you got it. Go feed my sheep. You don't need another year. You don't need another month. You don't need to be on the altar. You've got it. Feed. Get up and do what you're called to do. Because I've prayed for you. I prayed for you, and my prayer has worked, and my prayer will work, and my prayer is powerful, and my prayer gets you to where you need to be, and my prayer will strengthen you, and my prayer will empower you. Get up. Stop. Some of us are looking down at ourselves, and we're not doing anything that God, we're accused, the enemy has accused us, and we're accusing ourselves. God said, do you got it? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Have you got it? That the reason why you went there was because you felt you had it, your way, your confidence. But do you really get it? That everything, I know everything. I know everything. And when you walk out, you got to walk out in me. When you talk, you got to talk in me. When you go, I will go in Jesus' name. I will sing in Jesus' name. I will preach in Jesus' name. I will work in Jesus' name. I will get this job in Jesus' name. I need Jesus in everything. And I will do it. Do you got it? Then go feed my sheep. Then go feed my sheep. Because you got it. Go feed my sheep. You guys, let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand. And win, and win, and win, and win, and win, you guys, and win. The enemy wants to sift us as wheat. The enemy wants to sift us as wheat. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how called you are. I don't care what the name over you have, whatever name, preacher, apostle, prophet, whatever. I don't care what any of that is. The enemy wants to sift you and me as wheat. He's on duty. He doesn't let up. He looks for a vulnerable time. That's what he did with Peter. He looked for a vulnerable time. He looks at, that's what he did with the disciples. He looks when you're tired. He looks when you're afraid. He looks when you don't know what's going on. He looks when you're disillusioned. He looks at all these places you got. That's why God said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Stay on alert. Stay on alert for the enemy. He goes around seeking whom he may devour. Yeah. God is just telling us to watch and pray. And know this, that God has already prayed for us. Yeah. And when. And when is prerequisite to when the enemy gets you. When the enemy makes you fall. When the enemy makes you feel like a nobody. When the accuser starts accusing you because you messed up, God said, and when? And when? Come on, and when? Come on, it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. When you remember, I've prayed for you. I have prayed for you, and turn around and you say, it is written. God has prayed for me. Jesus has prayed for me. When he's telling you you're nobody, when he tells you you're a whore, when he tells you that you're a cheater, when he tells you that you're a liar, when he tells you, says, it is written. Jesus has prayed for me. And yes, I've done what you said I've done. And I am what you said I am. But Jesus has prayed for me. And I'm coming out. And I'm coming through. And I'm getting over. And I'm winning because Jesus has prayed for me. And I will lift up my eyes into the hill. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And I will remind myself that although I may be weak, because my God told me it is written that the Spirit is willing, and I am willing. I am willing. I'm willing to come out. I'm willing to be like Jesus. I'm willing to do what he says. But I've been caught at a vulnerable time in my life. But I'm going to remind myself who I am. I'm going to remind myself of the resurrection power that said, if I would die now to sin, I can rise again. How do I die? I just repent. I just confess. I just say, I'm sorry, Lord. I just say, I'm heartfully sorry, Lord. I say, forgive me, Lord. I rise. And when I rise, see, even God don't keep us down for years. He says to repent, and he said, and I'll forgive you. Not next week, not as I sit and ponder. Are they really real? Is their heart really real? I got to watch them for a week or two. Honestly, God don't do that. When we come to him and we really say, Lord, I am sorry and I repent. God said, I cast your sins away as far as the east is from the west. I don't even remember them anymore. When you come back and say, Lord, you know, remember when I did. Remember what? He wants us to get to that place that we stop remembering and that we start receiving. The reason why sometimes we fall back into sin is because we keep remembering. We keep bringing it up. God said, I've cast it away. Don't go back under that blood to go get it. That's nasty. Don't go back under the blood and go get it. Ooh, I'm happy myself, you guys. I'm happy myself. Sister, I have prayed for you, Linda Louise Jenkins. I've had mighty people pray for me. I've had T.D. Jakes pray for me. I've had different people that y'all look at and think is so great. But you know what? Nothing compares to that prayer that Jesus has prayed for me. And because he's prayed for me, his prayer is yes and amen over my life. And I believe it. Cheryl, even in your weakest moment, Jesus prayed for you. He's prayed for you. And everything you think you can't do, and every name you put over yourself, God wants you to cast it down right now in the name of Jesus. There's only one name that we need to put over ourselves, and that's the name of Jesus. Over every condition, over every sin, over every traumatic thing, the name of Jesus. The prayer of Jesus. I've prayed for you. Somebody just needs to just hug yourself and say, Jesus, you have prayed for me. Sometimes you're, who am I? I'm his. It's like one of your kids coming up to you and saying, who am I, Daddy, that you would bless me so much? Who am I, Daddy, that you would? It's like one of your kids coming up. You're my kid. What do you mean, who are you? You're my kid. I love you. And some of us have not had that. Some of us did not grow up with somebody validating them. I had a father that I was always saying, Daddy, I'm ugly, Daddy. I mean, he goes, what? You're my child. You look like me. to a child, that's a good thing, right? I used to think, oh, okay, I'm okay. I'm all right. I look like my daddy. Well, the same thing in the spirit. We like, God, who am I that you would bless me? Who am I that you would get me up out the mud and the dirt? Who am I that you would forgive me? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Remember in the prodigal son, it was exactly what he did. He forgave him. He went out there and he took him back. Come home. You belong to me. Do you know that father was sitting there? It said he was looking for him, waiting for him to come back, praying for him to come back. God is looking for you. God is always praying for you, no matter what dump you get in, what ditch you get in, what pit you get in. God is looking for you. And he's looking. And when you come, he wanted to come home and say, I'll just be a servant. I'll just come home and be a servant. That father came out there, put on a ring, put on sandals, put on his coat, put the robe on, and said, my son, called him my son, not my servant, my son, you were lost, but now you're found. Oh, God, that's all God wants us to do, is find our way home. And we find our way. And do you know that boy wasn't walking home by himself? He had his head down, but if he had a thought about it, Jesus has prayed for me. He's walking with me. He is right here with me. And I ain't talking about no haughty spirit. I'm talking about an assured spirit. Yes. One that says, I know that my God is with me. Even in this place where I have messed up, my God is with me. And I have confidence in him, not in myself, assurance in his love. I can hold my head up. I can grab his hand. I can stand up. I can move out. I can have victory. Lord, we just thank you for this word today. We thank you for this word today. We thank you for the joy that it brings our heart. We thank you for the assurance that brings our hearts. We thank you for the victory that it brings our heart. We thank you for the knowing, God, that you have prayed for us, God. You have already prayed for us. God, before we walk out this door, God, you've already prayed for us. Before we go into this next week, you have already prayed for us. God, you know what? When we really think about it, all we need to start doing is just say, thank you, Jesus. Our prayer should just be, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've prayed for me. Thank you when I get in this car. Thank you, Jesus. You've already prayed for me. When I get to my job, thank you, Jesus. You've already prayed for me. When I deal with my kids, thank you, Jesus. You've already prayed for me. When I deal with my husband, thank you, Jesus. You've already prayed for me. When I get the report from the doctor, thank you. You've already prayed for me. Come on, you guys, no matter what comes, what report comes this week, thank you, Jesus. When she says she's going to leave me, thank you, Jesus. You've already prayed for me. You've already, when I go there and the money's looking low, thank you, Jesus. You've already prayed for me. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, we just say thank you, Jesus. 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 You've already prayed for us. And Lord, when we are strengthened, oh God, this is why it's not so hard to go. You said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? Teach them how you brought us over. Teach us how you brought us through. Teach us how you brought, teach them how you brought us out. Teach them the good news that you've done over our life. When I've been strengthened, I have a story to tell. I have good news to declare. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, remind us of the good news. I want everybody to think right now. The man that I used to be, the woman that I used to be, oh, we're not finished. But we're way further than Hallelujah. We used to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you that you have prayed for us. Father, we walk in the authority of your prayer, in the victory of that prayer, in Jesus' name. This morning, if there's anybody that just wants